prisoners were around me, like, who is this dude that just got beat up, you know? So everyone was all around me, and I just started preaching, man, you're trapped inside, you're in a cell deep inside, and you're messed up, and you need Christ, you need to have a jailbreak within, you know, because you don't live in this jail. You know, there's a lot of rich people that have these nice houses, but they don't live in that house. We all live in one spot. We live in here, man. Your soul lives inside your body. That's where you live. And man, you don't have peace. If you don't have peace in here, who cares if you have the softest bed? You know, if you have the most comfortable room with the best air condition and all this, you know, Apple computer, whatever. If you're messed up in here, you're messed up because this is where you live. Amen? So here's the verse I want to share with you guys today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm out of here like in 15 minutes. So enjoy. I got to take off going to Chicago. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4. Verse 4. Who likes to read that? I like participation. James 4, 4. Who's up for a good reading? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand at the same time, but do raise your hand if you want to participate. Don't raise them all at the same time. One at a time. There we go. Come on up. Come on up. Let's get you used to speaking on the mic because you're going to be preaching one day. Come on up.
Woo! Is it James 4? So you are not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes God's enemy.
All right. How's that for a message? Woo! Man, that's like a watered-down translation. What is that? And New centuries. All right. Let me give you the old century. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's pretty tough, right? Dude, you want to be a friend of the world? Then you're God's enemy. That's pretty rough. But that's the word of God, you know. I just read the book. I didn't write it. So excuse me. I'm just going to share what the book says. It says, anyone who wants to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You know, you got young people that want to be cool, want to do the in thing, Lady Gaga, whatever. You know, even if you don't like those losers, you know, because they are losers, you know, you're like, well, you admire some of the cool kids in school. Like, dude, I want to be like that guy. You know, who are you admiring? You know, there's nothing more pitiful. The Bible says, don't look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. You know, let's not envy them. They should be envying us. You know, and if they don't envy us, who cares? But I don't care what people think of me. I just care what God thinks of me. I live before an audience of one. And you got people doing their own thing, you know, into the world. People like, dude, I'm not an enemy of God. I'm just doing my thing, you know. I got a girlfriend, and what do you want me to do? You know, I'm going to kiss her. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, you know. And, you know, if I'm not going to sleep with her, but I'll do some other stuff with her, you know. Let me tell you, if you're a friend of the world, whoever said you could just screw around with girls or, treat, you know, or guys with girls, girls with guys, whoever said you can do it, whoever said that was legal, it's God's clearly telling you, God leaves you at your free will, but he clearly says, if you're a friend of the world, if you do what the world does, you're my enemy. You're totally going against. I've given you my commandments. I told you to respect one another, love one another, and love can wait. And if you can't wait to express your love, then you're an enemy of God. You're going in the opposite direction than what I'm telling you. And, you know, don't play Russian roulette with God because you're playing with a loaded gun. You know, don't say, God, I'm going to challenge you. I think I can still go to heaven and screw around and do whatever I want to do with the girls. I'll still go to heaven. You know, I say I can still go to heaven and just tell occasional lies. But the Bible says no liar has eternal life. No liar has eternal life. Very serious, man. You know, sometimes we tell these little lies. There is no little lie. Any lie is an association with the devil because he's the father of lies. No liar. So don't play with God. Say, I'm going to challenge this. I'm going to lie. I think I'll still go to heaven. I'm going to mess around a little bit with the girl. I'm going to still go to heaven. I'm going to cheat. Dude, you're going to be in for a surprise maybe when you die. And you're like, what's going on? I went to the best church in the world, the Toronto church, and I'm not going to make it into heaven. What's going on? Lord, let me in. God's going to be like, who are you? We never had a relationship. You made people think we had a relationship, but you never had a relationship with me. I didn't know you. You know, so there's people messed up, passing away, and God wants us to be evangelists. Amen. That's what my message is really today is God wants you to be an evangelist. He wants you to be a superhero for him. But you cannot lead sinners to Christ if you is one, all right? You know what I'm saying? You can't do it. That's what you put on a facade. You pretend to be something. You got to be purified from within. You got to start from here, man. You're a superhero. Let me tell you, you got more power than Superman. Superman has X-ray vision, but you got the spirit of discernment. You can look right through people and say, I see that. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. Superman flies. One day you'll be taken off too. Don't worry. You know, You're immortal, you know what I'm saying? You'll never die. You got some things that Superman don't have. So you should be proud of that, man. We were like superheroes. And if there's one thing I regret in life, there's one thing I regret, is when I was your age, man, I kind of wanted to be a friend of the world. I wanted to be kind of cool. I wanted to fit in. I didn't want people to think I was weird. Man, if I could go back in time, I would have been so much more bolder. You know, one person can really, you can flip your school upside down. If you chose to be bold for God and say, man, I believe this book at face value. And if you could say these words, I don't care what people think of me. All I care is about what he thinks about me. You can go into your schools and revolutionize it, flip it upside down. You just saw that little video, 36,000 souls for Jesus Christ. When you just give them 100%. And you know, since I met Jesus Christ, I've had slip-ups. I fell. I made some mistakes in life. But I was never like backslidden. You know, a lot of people say, I was backslidden. Man, my dad, when he was older, I mean, when he was younger, my dad was backslidden. So I guess if my dad can be backslidden, I can do it. I mean, other people have done it. I've never had a backslidden experience. Let me tell you, I'm in my early 30s, and I've never kissed a girl in my life. Never. That's right, and I'm proud of it. I don't care what anyone, I've never kissed a girl. I'm not going to. I'm saving that for my future wife. She's worth waiting for. She's my princess. You know, I don't know if you guys know the Minina Bonita. I'm waiting for her, and I'm going to save myself. And I'm saving myself for Jesus. You know, Jesus told me to wait until I get married. So virgin, 100%. Kissing a girl, not even done that. We're going to stay pure. I'm dead serious about being set pure and set aside for Jesus Christ. But it's by my own free will. I choose to do it because I love him. And love for God is to obey him, amen? So we want to be set apart for God's good work, man. We got to be in love with Jesus. There's a problem today in the church, man. We're not in love with Jesus. But let me tell you, life is short, and God only asks two things from each and every one of you. He asks you to do what? What are the two things God wants? Anyone want to answer? Two things. Fear God, keep his commandments. I love that one. And what are the commandments summed up in? Two things. Here we go. We got a volunteer for $500.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
That's number one. What's number two? For a daily double, number two.
Is it be loved?
And be loved, close.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Bing, bing, bing. Give it up for?
Ernesto.
Ernesto. Woo! Love God. Love people. That's why you're here, man. Everything else is just a fringe benefit. Getting married is a fringe benefit. Going to school, getting an education, that's whipped cream on the cake. But your job is to love God and love people. And in the process, have fun, get married, go to school, but get the gospel out to the rest of the world. You know, share that message. That's your purpose, to know God and to make him known. Because life is short, man. One day you're going to have a tombstone. It's going to have your name. The date of your birth, probably 1995 or something. No, sure. Have the date, the name, Maria Vasquez, 1993, the little dash, and the date of her death. That little dash represents your life, that little dash. And all that God wants for you to do is love him and love people. That's the only thing he expects from you. And I want to show you a little video on eternity because I think it'll help bring some perspective on how life is short. And after that, we're going to go right into tips on sharing the gospel. But I mean, there's times where you just got to get out of your comfort zone, man. We're so much in our comfort zone, we can't see God work. God doesn't move in the boat. You know, when Peter was in the boat relaxing and everyone was riding and then there's some storms, he's like, if you want to see God's power, you got to get out of the boat, man. You got to get out of your comfort zone. We're too relaxed. And the devil, I think the devil's number one trick, brother, today in Canada, in the U.S. definitely, is entertainment, you know, is entertainment. Entertainment, video games, TV, fax machines, internet, you know, Facebook, this and that. Everyone's like into all this stuff. We don't have any time to get out of our comfort zone and into the faith zone, you know, where we're walking on water. Any miracle I experienced, and believe me, I've experienced a lot of them, is because I stepped out into the faith zone. It's like, I remember God saying to me, Steve, I want you to go to Brazil. I'm like, oh, man, I can feel God telling me. And he's like, go to Brazil. God, I don't even speak Portuguese. I speak Spanish. Why can't I go to a Spanish country, Lord? He's like, I want you to go to Brazil. I'm like, Lord, wow, Brazil. And I went to Greece, like Joe, and I went in the other direction. And while I was in Greece visiting my family, I said, Lord, please just give me a little confirmation. I'm sorry I'm lacking a little faith here, but give me a little something to confirm that I'm supposed to go to Brazil. And my last day in Greece, I was in church. I was going to fly out. And I said, Lord, please give me a sign. You haven't given me any sign. Please have mercy on me. I've been begging you for weeks. You know, sometimes we pray for one day and we give up. I've been praying for weeks and weeks. Please confirm if I'm supposed to go to Brazil. I prayed and I just felt the Lord said, talk to the person right behind you. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to talk to the guy behind me. I want to know if I'm supposed to go to Brazil. Tell me if I'm supposed to go to Brazil. I said, talk to the guy behind you. So when the service was over, I went up to the guy. I started talking in Greek. And he's like, man, I don't speak Greek. Slow down. You know, I'm a missionary from Brazil. And I'm like, whoa. It's a missionary from Brazil. Brazilians don't go to Greece. You know, it's a weird thing to see a Brazilian in Greece. And like, man, that's it. I'm supposed to go to Brazil. I went to Brazil. I found out real quick that the Brazilians were not waiting for me. I thought they were waiting for me, you know, with the, you know, Hawaii flowers, you know, one of the, you know, they were not waiting for me. I went over and like, Lord, what's going on? I was knocking on church doors. They wouldn't open. No one wanted to help me. I found out that people were doing witchcraft against me. I didn't know until later. And I just went into my room. I locked the door for 3 days fasting. And then someone came knocking on my door. Said, Steve, let's go to church. I said, man, absolutely. What else are we going to do? It was Thursday. You know, I went to church Thursday, and the pastors were there. They said, man, normally we don't have church on Thursday. We're not even here. We're just having a meeting with our elders because we're just praying about how we're going to do evangelism in the city. I'm like, duh, man, that's why I'm here. Let's connect. And so we connected. We made it happen. Long story short, I celebrated. I went out to eat because I had that church was with me 100%. I bumped into the director of schools, and that's why you saw that video. I went to all the schools. We led 36,000 souls to Christ. You know, it all happened after that three-day fast. Something just snapped. And it's all awesome, and I walk in the faith zone. I want to teach you guys how to go into evangelism, man, because God wants to use you to do amazing things, man. There's nothing greater than evangelism. I'd rather see someone saved then see a paralytic guy come out of a chair, man. There's no greater miracle than to see someone's soul get saved, that someone says, I need Christ. And evangelism is simply, and Anna Kutz was sharing this with me, evangelism is God's love being expressed through you to others. I mean, God loves people, and he wants to express that love, and he's looking for someone that's available. You don't have to have these great abilities. Just be available and say, Lord, man, I'm right here. Help me love that person. I love that person through me, Lord. And God loves that person so much, he'll just love them right through you. And he'll be used by God, and you'll be doing some great exploits for the Lord. Amen? But it all starts off with one thing. The foundation, if you have a pen and paper, of evangelism is passion. If you don't have a passion, then you might as well, you know, go do something else. Go sell chocolates or something. But you need passion. Without passion, you're wasting your time. You gotta, you know, God so loved the world. God was so passionate that he gave his only son. He gave all his only son. He didn't give, like, you know, some of us today, we tithe carefully. We give a little bit of our time to God. He didn't say, like, let me tithe my son. Let me give 10% of my son to the earth. No. He gave everything he had on that cross. And you need to have, like, a love and a passion, that love of God that you have, that connection you have with the Father needs to be so overwhelming, so powerful. That's why I'm saying love God, love people. Jesus says, follow me, and I convert you into a fisher of men. You become an evangelist immediately when you fall in love with him. And when you spend time with him, I used to take honeymoons with Jesus. I used to work for United Airlines. I'd fly to Hawaii. I'd go to Puerto Rico. And I'd just be walking with Jesus. You know, I'd have my hand out like this, walk with Jesus. I used to love hanging out with Jesus. I still do. And I'd always put Jesus on the side of the water because I knew he could walk on water. I'd be, you know. But, you know, I used to love hanging out with him, man. Love God. And then the love of God would fill me, and then I'd want to, like, talk to someone. I remember someone was walking past me, and God's like, go talk to that girl. I'm like, man, she's like too cute, and I don't want to evangelize a cute girl because I don't need any distractions in my life. And God's like, I just told you, and he wouldn't give me peace. And then finally, as I was walking, I stepped on a bee. It stung me underneath my foot. And I don't know, the bee was stuck in the sand. That was weird. And I was like, all right, Lord, you got my attention. I went back to the girl, and I go, man, she's in the water, and I'm not going to go evangelize her in the ocean. So I went back the other way, and then she came back out. I go, if she comes back out, I'll evangelize her. She comes back out. I turn the other way. I said, you know, ma'am, you know, I'm human. I get nervous, too. I'm like, what time is it? Because I didn't want to, like, go right into it. And she's like, what time is it? I'm on the beach. I don't have a watch. I go, let me just tell you. Listen, God told me to come up to you and to just tell you he loves you. And I just started speaking to her, you know, prophetically saying a few little things. Nothing big. Just more like a God loves you and a few other things. And the girl just dropped and started weeping and weeping. And I don't know what was going on. And next thing you know, she receives Christ. Turns out she was, whatever. I'm not going to get into her career. But she was not the best person. And the Lord saved her. converted her, and then, you know, I had an extra shirt, so I put it on her. I baptize people when they get saved right away. That's the way I do it, and because the Bible says believe and be baptized. So we baptized her, brought her into the church, you know, and I don't know what she's doing today, but I knew she was doing good for about a year. So God can use you to do great things, but you have to fall in love with him to do it. So the first step, the foundation is passion, but the first step is, check this out, overcoming your fear. Your greatest weakness for evangelism, step one, is overcoming your fear. It's your biggest problem is you. Did you know that? Your biggest problem is you. I've been evangelizing for over 10 years, all these different countries, in nightclubs, in strip clubs, in drug dealer places with guys with guns like aiming at me. I went to the worst places in the world. You have no clue my story. You don't know my story, man. If you want to see a little bit of it, you can check it out on the TV show. Me see on extrema.tv. But I was like doing crazy things, dude. And I'm telling you, in 10 years, nobody has tried to kill me. And I've been preaching like a maniac day in, day out for like years. And no one has tried to kill me. Maybe two times. That's it. But that's two times in like 10 years of preaching like a maniac. And that in these crazy places, okay? So if that don't happen to me, I mean, and I wasn't even evangelizing when they tried to do it. It was just demon-possessed guys just came out of nowhere with machetes or whatever, just attacking me. No one else but me. Anyways, they couldn't touch me because the Lord was with me, but those are other stories. But my bottom line is you can share the gospel and not be afraid. They're not going to kill you. Trust me. You'll be okay. And if they do, God bless you. You'll have a great crown in heaven, but they're not going to touch you. Just go in faith. You know, overcome your fear in faith. Step one, man, overcome that that fear of the devil. It says, don't do it. They might reject you. Who cares if they reject you? The Lord will be so proud of you if they reject you. And if they don't, what if they get saved? How do you know? Some of my best friends were people that I evangelized, man. They became my best friends because I led them to the Lord, you know. And so the first step is overcome your fear. Step two, find a middle point. Try to connect with the person. Don't just, you know, unless the Lord leads you, go ahead and just say, you know, repent for the kingdom of God's at hand. But, you know, you should find a connection point. How many people here like rap? Anyone like rap? Come on up, baby. So let's say I meet this guy for the first time. Like, what's up, man? You like rap?
Yes.
Why don't you go on and spit it a little bit? You know how to do, you know, some of that?
No, I'm not going.
We have any beatboxers here? Come on up. Come on, we need you. Come on. So come on up. Stay up here, man. Woo. Stay up. I'm talking to you. You're the guy I just met off the street. So you like rapping, eh? This guy's going to give you a little beat.
Let's give you what you got.
Wait, what?
Give us a little beat.
You're supposed to give me a beat and I...
No! I don't know.
All right, if you give us a beat, I'll rap. No. Dude, I'm going to rap. He gives us a beat.
No.
Anyone want to give us a beat?
Boom, snap, clap.
Dude, this guy's embarrassed. Are you going to do it for us or what? I got to go to the airport. All right. We just talked about overcoming your fear. It's for the gospel.
No, I don't know what to do.
Forget it. Let the guy go. So we connect. We would connect in some way. We'd have a rapper. I know. But that's the thing. See, people here, I want to use this as an example. People here have gifts that God has given them. And even if you're not great, I'm not a great rapper. And I was just about to rap. You know, even if you're not super gifted in something, but you have a little gift, use it. God will take it and use it for his glory. Don't be ashamed, man. That's the biggest thing. Remember, overcoming your fear. Two, find the connection point. If you're a girl and you say, oh, I'm not a rapper or a basketball player or whatever, just say, you know, that's a nice dress you're wearing. And just go into the conversation. Yeah, whatever it is. You just connect with the person. You know, that's a nice, you know, I like the hair, man. Let's check that out. Look at that fro. That's awesome. Yeah, I like it. Dr. J. You know, so you find the connection point. You could always compliment someone, and that opens up a conversation, all right? Once you're in that conversation, step three, deposit a word from God. If you're taking notes, step three, deposit a word. God gives you a word for someone. He's telling you, I just want that person to know I love them. I want that person to know, you know, and you just deposit it. Go over there. When you get into that conversation, make the connection point, deposit the word God's given you. Could it be just Jesus loves you? If you want to take it a little further, you could use the Ten Commandments and really wake them up. You guys know that? The Way of the Master, Ten Commandment technique? Yeah? Give me someone up here that's not ashamed. Come on, one person, volunteer. Come on up. All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question. You could pretend you're this doesn't have to be personal. Pretend you're a sinner on the street. And Yeah, send her off the street, and we're just hooked up. Man, that's cool. You like to dance? Me too. Bye. You know, so you know, we're connecting. We're talking. What's your name?
Ginny.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone thinks they're a good person. All right. Do you believe in God? God exists?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm going to ask you some questions to see if you're a good person or not. Take notes. This is good. You guys can use this. You should really be taking notes. Okay. Use these four commandments to really open up their eyes and make them see that they're not that great. All right. Have you ever told a lie before? What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
A liar. Have you ever stolen anything before in your life? Maybe a little Snickers bar, something at 7-Eleven, a dollar from your mom?
Once, okay. Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals?
A stealer.
All right, a stealer or a thief. If you're from Pittsburgh, it's a stealer. The Steelers. All right. Have you ever used God's name in vain? You know, you've been upset, just had a...
I think so.
Using God's name in vain is called blasphemy. You took God's holy name and dragged it through their mud. Don't worry, you hit him like that. All right, so that's called blasphemy. Last question, have you ever looked at a guy and had with lust, you know, and said, ooh, that guy's hot, and thought some thoughts you shouldn't have, like with Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or whoever it may be?
Sure.
Sure, okay. Jesus says, if you look at a woman and you lust after her or a man, it's like you commit adultery in your heart. So your name again?
Ginny.
Jenny, by your own admission, you're a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer at heart. On the day of judgment, by your own words, on the day of judgment, when you stand before a holy God, would you be innocent or guilty of the Ten Commandments?
I ask for forgiveness.
Yes, forgiveness. Okay, if I broke a window, or if I murdered someone, for example, and I said, like, I murdered, shot this lady right in the head, and I said, yeah, and I said, no, judge, forgive me. I mean, I won't do that again. In fact, I'll become a lifeguard now, and I'll start saving people that are dying. You think the judge will forgive me, or do I go to jail?
Well, he'll give you a punishment.
Okay. How long do you think I'll go to jail? For a couple of years or life?
What, did you kill somebody?
Yeah, I shot her.
Why did you kill her?
Huh?
Why did you kill her?
I had nothing else to do that day. I was playing, those video games that tell me to shoot people, and then I did it.
I think you get an 8-year sentence.
Okay, I think it would be life. But the bottom line is the wages of sin is death, all right? There's no escape. There's no way around it. And even if you're sorry, it doesn't make a difference because God is holy, God is just, and sin must be punished. So the good news for you, do you want to know how you can be delivered from your sins?
Are you going to tell me?
Sure, Jesus Christ, man. When you had a long tab, you had a price to pay, a huge tab, and you couldn't afford to pay it, Jesus said, let me see that. Whoa, he was looking through all your sins. He said, this is pretty heavy cost. I'll pay for it with my own blood. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, paying the price. Your sin never got forgiven, like, no big deal. It got hung on the cross. Someone paid for it. And now, if you're willing to receive that gift, you could have eternal life. Would you like to receive Christ with me?
Yes.
Amen. Give a round of applause. That's it. The person prays with you, you led someone to the Lord. And then, after that, step four, that was step three, deposit the word. Step four, follow up with that individual. What's your name? Phone number? Man, I go to Church Toronto Airport Church. Check it out. Really cool youth group. We have hot chocolate, donuts in the morning, and the foosball, all this stuff, you know, and a great message and worship. So just invite them out. Step four, just follow up with them, invite them out. That's my message. I want to just invite us to just bow our heads, stand up, bow your heads, and let's just close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel that God is calling you to be an evangelist, and you want to take that to the next level, you want to fall more in love with God, you want to take evangelism to the next level, I want you just to step on out, man. Let's practice coming out of our comfort zone and into the faith zone. Step on out. Even the girl with the crippled leg, the bad knees coming out. Come to the front. I'm just going to pray over you guys and ask that, you know, God's given me a passion and fire. I'm just going to pray that fire come over you guys. All right? So come on up. Slip right on up. If we have... A guitar player wants to come on up, a little piano player. Praise the Lord. And we're just going to pray over you guys. Come on up. You feel the Lord is touching you. You're saying, Lord, if you could remember a time that you are more on fire for God, you know, and you want that fire back, say, Lord, I want that fire. Bring back the fire. I'm coming to the front, Lord. I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm getting down on my knees, Lord. Bring back the fire. Lord, I'm wasting my life trying to make money, trying to be popular, trying to be cool, and I'm missing out on the greatest thing of all. The gospel, Lord. I want to know what it means to love you. Father, I want to know what it means to express your love. That's why I'm coming to the front. I want to be on fire. I want to be a set of flame for you, Lord Jesus. I want to make a difference in my school. I'm coming to the front, Father God. I want that fire, Lord Jesus. That's why you're coming. Thank you, Father.